Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. There's been a lot of comment now because it's a quarter of a century since the Good Friday Agreement was signed. Of course, Friday, Easter being a movable feast, it can be late March, anytime up to late April, so it wasn't actually the 7th of April 1998, but I do remember it being signed. I was in Oman, of all places, at the time, and I was quite sceptical because this has been painstakingly slow. In the second troubles was from 1969 till about 1998. And there'd been the Sunningdale Agreement way back in late 1973, if memory serves. But admittedly, the Sunningdale Agreement, it excluded the Loyalist terrorists, it excluded the Republican terrorists. It was the Constitutional Party, it was the Social Democratic and Labour Party who committed it to exclusively peaceful means of accomplishing their goals, as well as the Ulster Unionist Party and the Democratic Unionist Party. Sorry, what I'm talking about. The DUP wasn't even on board with Sunningdale. And even then, it was a majority of the Unionist Party agreed to Sunningdale, but a minority faction was against. The Alliance Party was on board with it, but it's brought to grief just a few months later. So there have been things like the Anglo-Irish Agreement in 1985, where the Republic of Ireland agreed with the United Kingdom to enhance security cooperation, that civil servants from the Republic would be set up at Maryfield, Belfast, and monitor the situation to make recommendations to act as an advocate on behalf of the nationalist community and so on. That the Ulster Defence Regiment be accompanied by RUC officers in as much as possible on patrol and so forth. But that yielded little headway. Remember Lord Norman Tebbit, who was Employment Secretary under Maggie Thatcher, speaking to him about it in 2000, he said, the Republic of Ireland welched on this in the beginning. The security cooperation was nothing like as much as we'd led to believe. Moreover, unionist opposition to the Anglo-Irish Agreement, which was not negotiated in consultation with the unionist community, was far more ferocious than Maggie Thatcher had been led to anticipate. What else had there been? John Hume, the leader of the Social Democratic and Labour Party, he did various meetings with Gerard Adams, who was the head honcho of Sinn Féin, Sinn Féin being the IRA with the balaclava off. But this didn't yield much progress. Of course, they weren't fighting against each other. They weren't protagonists. The SDLP disapproved of the crimes of the Republican terrorists, as they did those were the Loyalist terrorists, of course, and indeed crimes committed by the security forces. But then there were other things. There's the Downing Street Declaration between Albert Reynolds, then Taoiseach, as in Prime Minister of the Irish Republic, and then John Major, that at that time Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and their various other attempts to make progress. And there was, as Peter Brook, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, said, the United Kingdom had no selfish strategic or economic interest in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland was only part of the United Kingdom because the majority of people there wished it to be so. Bizarrely, he made this whilst giving a speech to this dog food manufacturers forum. Anyway, so then there was the first IRA ceasefire in the June of 1994. That only lasted a year and a half to February 1996 and so on. But not enough progress was made. The IRA refused to put their weapons beyond use and so on. Some of their prisoners were released ahead of jail for the felonies they committed. Those given life sentences were not released early. And the Ulster Unionist Party was deeply unhappy about this. The Democratic Unionist Party was opposed to any negotiations, say, fight on till victory. Because the Irish Republican Army, that was trying to obviously force Northern Ireland to leave the UK and fuse with the Republic of Ireland before revolutionising the Irish Republic. But they were inflicting less and less damage. More and more of their people were imprisoned for longer terms. The security forces were getting adept at running informers, had really honeycombed them with informers. Not so much the South Armagh Brigade. They were often farming families who were interrelated. It was very difficult to crack in there. So about a third of the Crown Forces' casualties in Northern Ireland were sustained in the South Armagh area, which is rather small in geography. So the IRA, they went back to terrorism. Obviously, they're Loyalist terrorists, the Ulster Freedom Fighters, the Ulster Volunteer Force, who were trying to kill members of the IRA and indeed the Irish National Liberation Army, INLA. The INLA is like the IRA, but they're ultra-left. So the Loyalist terrorists carried out sectarian murders, just killing any Catholic man on the basis that as a Catholic is a probable nationalist and so on. But then finally, in July 1997, the Provisional IRA, the IRA is usually just call IRA, but Provisional IRA, because there are other factions, they declared a ceasefire. And the loyalist terrorists, they mostly followed suit. There was one loyalist outfit, the Loyalist Volunteer Force, LVF, which didn't. But anyway, it was just after Tony Blair's Labour government had been ushered into office with a landslide in the United Kingdom. And indeed, Bertie Ahern's Fianna Fáil party had won an election in the Republic of Ireland. So there was a new impetus to it. So the British Labour Party was less committed to Northern Ireland than the Conservative and Unionist Party was. So Blair was willing to make concessions. I remember in 1998, in a bus going down to Dublin, and the Garda motorcycle outriders stopping the traffic for Blair's limousine to whiz through. And very shortly after he became Prime Minister, he made a public statement saying the United Kingdom regretted the famine in Ireland in the 1840s, not enough aid had been granted. Now, Blair was born in Edinburgh, and his mother was from Donegal. That's the Republic of Ireland, but it's still Ulster. And his mother was a Protestant. And shortly before he became PM, he'd addressed a unionist gathering in Northern Ireland saying that I'm one of you. And if Northern Ireland leaves the UK and were ever to fuse with the Republic, that will not be the lifetime of anyone in this room. So it's going to be over a century away. Anyway, Nash has found him easier to deal with. And plus, yeah, he just sort of wasn't so firm to opposing terrorism, would just smile and say, oh, well, it's modern. We can let people out of jail for any sort of crime and things like that. And was all things to all men, was utterly two-faced. In his autobiography, A Journey, he said, we stretch the truth sometimes beyond breaking point, which is to say that he lied, as he lied an awful lot. So there were these torturous negotiations in the spring of 1998, and there were walkouts. Was it even going to happen? And finally it was signed. There were three main strands to it: relationships within Northern Ireland, relationships between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and relationships between the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland. So it was agreed that there would be a Northern Ireland Assembly elected under the Donald formula. There would be compulsory power sharing between both nationalist and unionist parties. There would be a first minister and a deputy first minister. Whichever got the most votes would have the first minister. Whichever had the second most votes would have the deputy first minister. So nationalists and unionists were going to have to form a coalition. This is one of the problems. You couldn't really have an opposition. You couldn't actually vote people out and get a new slate of people because there had to be both nationalists and unionists there. There's going to be a Council of Ireland, which is supposed to be set up pursuant to the 1921 treaty, but I don't think it ever met, and it briefly met after the Sunningdale Agreement, terrorist organisations were going to put their weapons beyond use. But the UK government had always said, well, Sinn Féin is not the IRA. We'll negotiate with Sinn Féin. That's just a political path that's lawful, not with the IRA. But Sinn Féin actually went along with this and said, well, we can't actually force the IRA to disarm. We can ask them to, but we'll use our good offices, it says. We can't guarantee it's going to happen. And that was a sticking point. It took about 10 years for the Provisional IRA to fully uphold their end of the bargain. So some of the pro-terrorist parties on the loyalist side, the Progressive Unionist Party, the PUP, they agreed to it. So does the Ulster Democratic Party, which is a tiny pro-terrorist party as well on the loyalist side. And so it was signed, and I was deeply pessimistic about it. I just didn't think that the IRA would settle for so little, would agree to Northern Ireland stay within the United Kingdom for decades, but maybe forever, although that's actually what's happened. So they were more desperate than I thought. Anyway, so it's a very good thing that's been signed, and though I did have misgivings about it, Northern Ireland is far, far better off than ever was before. And some younger people watching this will not have been alive at the time of the Troubles and won't realise just how horrific it was. And there's a sense that it was faintly exciting, that you were somehow missing out if you weren't there. But I can tell you it wasn't remotely exciting, it was just scary. And there are lots of things you couldn't do in places that wasn't safe to go, and horrific things that happened. So whatever your viewpoint, whether you're a nationalist or unionist, whatever your identity, whether you regard yourself as Irish or British or Ulster or Northern Irish or whatever, or any combination of those things, I can tell you, you're better off now. You're happier, safer, and freer now than you were before. That whatever Northern Ireland's future is going to be, it can easily be resolved without a single drop of blood being spilt ever again. And that's why the Good Friday Agreement should be commended, despite its imperfections. Anyway, thank you so much for watching this video. Goodbye.